Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Coleraine, Massachusetts. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, as you know, today is Missions Sunday. And remember, Denise and I were going to go on a missions trip. We thought we were to Haiti. And it was organized by Dr. Ron Larson, who's here with his wife today. Mary, welcome. And with Converge, it used to be the Baptist General Conference, and I've been working with them. Dr. Ron is the missions director, and we're very glad to have him here this morning. He called me and said, "Can I come and preach at your church?" Well, what do you say? Couldn't say no, could I? Well, I could have done, but I hadn't met him before. We've spoken on the phone and emailed back and forth, and so glad to be able to have him with us today. And I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Amen. So give Dr. Ron a nice round of applause, shall we? Welcome, and God bless. And that word is all yours if you want.
Okay, good. Well, good morning. Thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be here. It's been a number of years since I've been to Coleraine. I've known Rick since Moses and Joshua or whatever. It's been a long time at least. And thank you for your faithfulness and how you have served the Lord. And thanks for being such a missions-minded church. And we're thankful that you're a part of Converge. There's 91 Converge churches that are primarily in Massachusetts and Connecticut. Churches such as yourselves that are wonderfully serving the Lord in their communities. So thanks for being a part of that family. Now, I'm a little concerned about preaching on missions and realizing that you've had an expert who was a missionary with Denise there in Papua New Guinea for how many years?
10 years.
And so I'm a little concerned about preaching a sermon, you know. But I'll see what we can do. And I'm actually want to preach something that's, excuse me, a little different in reference to a missions sermon. And that is that I have been researching on the subject. What, in fact, is God doing in this world? I don't know about you, but I've stopped watching the news because I just sort of get discouraged. And then I occasionally watch the local news. Well, we live pretty close to Hartford, and there's not many good things happening in Hartford, and so I don't like listening to what they tell me. And but the fact is that the Church of Jesus Christ has the answer because we have Christ. And he is coming again. And until that time, we have a responsibility to be on mission with the God of missions. And so what I'd like to do is just go over two verses. And I would like then to just sort of share some things, both good news and bad news, in reference to what's happening in missions around the world. Well, let's pray first. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for this church. Thank you that you are present in the power of your Holy Spirit. We would ask now that as we turn to your infallible word, that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. I'd ask that you'd open our minds and our hearts to your word so that we would not only accept it, but we would understand it. And we would understand our relationship and responsibility to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. It's in the book of Habakkuk that you really have two very short but interesting verses. Habakkuk, the first chapter, verse 5, says, "Look at the nations and watch, and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe it, even if you were told." Interesting verse, isn't it? Let me read it again. "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I am going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told." And then the other verse is Habakkuk, the second chapter, verse 14. And there we have a promise. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. Possibly you've heard of those two verses. And so let's see this prophecy that even if we looked and we were amazed, we would just be amazed at what God would be doing in the world in reference to missions. And the fact is that his word is going to fill the entire earth. And then, of course, we know when that is done, then the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return back. Missions will be finished. This is the day and opportunity for salvation. This is our opportunity and privilege to share the word of God. It's in the book, The Screwtape Letters, written by C.S. Lewis, that he has there, when the two angels are talking to each other, this descriptive phrase. The senior angel says to the junior angel, and he was speaking about earth, that sometimes it would be joy unspeakable, and then sometimes agony to behold. Again, I think when I listen to the news and have the privilege of traveling around, whether it be New England or elsewhere, really it's just a contrast. There's just this sense of unspeakable joy, but unfortunately, there's so much agony to also behold. Possibly you remember from the Tale of Two Cities, the author Charles Dickens, he opens up that famous book. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Don't you think that really describes our day and age? It really is the best of times, and we could go on as to the medical advances, and we could talk about the churches, we could talk of how the gospel has so advanced, but then we also could talk about the tremendous catastrophes and sadness and illnesses and things that just permeate our world. And so I'd like to take these two verses in Habakkuk and point out that there are a prophecy and a promise by God that God is working on, and that we're living in this great day and age of missions. I believe that when we do talk about missions, that there really are six words that define missions. First of all, God originated. Secondly, Christ-centered. And then thirdly, Spirit-empowered. When we're talking about missions, we're not talking about a program. We're not talking about a project. We're not even talking about missionaries or Converge or other agencies. When we're talking about missions, we always have to begin with the Father, because missions is his responsibility. It's his plan. And for us, it's a privileged partnership. It's an opportunity to join the Father in what he is going to accomplish. We are his instruments to pray and to give and to encourage, and then also to go, whether it be short term or whether it be for a longer period of time. And then if I was to describe missions in another way, there are six other words that I come up with. First of all, it's an awesome responsibility. I love this word, awesome. In part, my grandson has taught that to us. They lived with us for 4 years, and this just past February, they moved out, and so it was always with mixed emotions. It was great that they were living with us, but it's nice, too, when they moved out so that we could sort of reclaim our house back, you know, and that was taken over by three individuals. But our young grandson, we have just one, and he is 7 years old, but he likes this word awesome. And on one occasion, he was sitting with me in, I think, the front row of our church, and we had just had a time of worship and various instruments and good singing. And then the worship team went and sat down, and I was ready to come up and to preach. They've never let me in any church lead the worship service. And there's obvious reasons for it. I have one note and I keep it, and I've kept it for many years now. I've almost worn that note out. But anyways, so I was not leading. I came up, but just before I did, my grandson just really loved the last song. He raised his hand somewhat in his just sort of a typical fashion. He said, "That was awesome!" And he just shouted it out so the whole church heard it. I sort of was hoping that he'd wait until I finished preaching, but anyways, he had not done that. Awesome responsibility. Why do I say that? Because we are living in an unprecedented time in church history. God has accelerated the rate of redemption around the world. Very simply, God's kingdom is growing and building. It's more obvious. And the simple fact is that there are more people that have come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ than any other time in history. I'll go over some of the statistics that will point that out. But it also then, secondly, is an unspeakable privilege. And I say that because we're living in some awesome mission opportunities. When you think of telecommunications and you think of the satellites and you think of the internet and how this has changed missions in so many ways, so that things in America, we're seeing less in church attendance, and yet in so many ways we're just seeing so many things that are on the internet that are appropriate for one to be seeing because it talks about Christ. But then we can talk about missions being wonderful blessings. And that's because God is accelerating the rate of redemption in the world. Now, let me point out the passages that we've just talked about, that we would just be utterly amazed as to what God is doing. But let's start with the bad news first, because I don't want us to leave here and not to be realistic as to what is happening in our world. Because as the gospel has gone forth around the world, Satan hasn't just stepped back and said, "Oh, you know, my goodness, look at the evangelical church. I think I'm just going to sit here and let them do whatever they want." That's not so. And so Satan, in an extremely powerful way, who knows the end is coming, is one who is so extremely powerful and has advanced in such cataclysmic catastrophes of sinfulness and so forth, is so very, very active, I believe, in our world. So let me point out, for instance, in the country of Botswana, there in the central part of Africa, a small country, a child who is age 15 has an 80% chance of dying before age 20. I'm going to share some statistics that if you want these afterwards, I'll be willing to give them to you. But it's amazing that here, if you're in this African country, there's an 80% chance that if before you're age 20, you're going to die. It is thought that the country of Botswana is no longer going to be a country in 20 years. Did you hear that? That's amazing. We have never talked in terms like this, that we may mention a town or a village or a certain aspect of the world moving on. But there are certain portions of Africa. In fact, by the year 2020, it is believed that 10 African countries will have experienced zero population growth rate, which means that if they don't have children that are being populated, are being created and so forth, that it happens to be that as a nation, they're going to be going out of business. And so it's just utterly amazing that we're talking about Africa in these absolutely new kinds of terms. But let's talk about America. America is really decreasing. At one time, especially in the 60s and the 70s, they would figure that the average church about at least 40%, 47% of Americans at one time used to come to church on a weekly basis. They now think it's 17%. And the definition of going to church is not weekly, but a couple times a month. So the statistics in America are greatly changing. Let me point that out in a number of ways. 3,750 churches every year close. This is in America, in our own country. In America, all the different denominations, Methodists, Presbyterians, Converge, and others and so forth, including the Southern Baptists, plant 1,350 churches planted every year, which is excellent. But this, let me point this out. In 1900, and I'm not saying anybody lived at that time, but maybe your parents did, or grandparents, and so forth. So please, if my finger's not is pointing to you, has nothing to do with age and so forth. I'm just giving you a statistic, okay? And so in 1900 in America, there were 27 churches for every 10,000 Americans to go to. So in 1900, for 10,000 churches, Americans could go to 27 churches. Now, as of this year, there are only 11 churches for every 10,000 Americans. And the average size of the American church has come down to about 80 to 100 people. If you've ever been to Mexico City, or you know where that city is, it's just a vast, sprawling city. There is a shanty town, a slum area, that is larger than the geographical area of Chicago. Now, having lived in Chicago for 11 years, I find that to be an amazing statement. Because Chicago is just an absolutely huge, huge city, not only in population, but in geography. On an average, 53,000 people leave the Christian church in Europe every Sunday. Isn't that unbelievable? Europe, Mary and I have the privilege of going there three times a year to go to the countries of Finland and of Estonia. Estonia is less than 2% evangelical. The country of Sweden and Norway would even be far less than that. Doctors Without Borders has given me this quote: malnutrition now accounts for 45% of all the deaths of children under 5 in the world. That's so sad. There are diseases such as malaria, such as tuberculosis. But tuberculosis has come back in America, but also in Europe. And I could list off a number of diseases that have just come back into the world because the medicines that we have used for all these years now are not as effective as they used to be. But malnutrition. We have enough food in America to feed the world. And yet the fact is that so many millions and millions of children are just dying because of malnutrition. I had the privilege of going to Ethiopia on a number of occasions sent by Converge to be involved in famine relief. And it was so very, very difficult. We would come in 747 cargo planes, absolutely filled right to the top with grain and rice and medicines and all various kinds of foods. And you know what was the biggest opposition of getting that food to the people that were starving? It's the government. I'm not trying to be political here. I'm not talking about the American government. I'm talking about the Ethiopian government. We had to have a gentleman, as we were unloading the plane, and of course, I try to just supervise rather than use all my muscles and so forth. And so here's this huge plane that had to be unloaded and sent back to Europe, and so it had to be done very quickly. We got the all these things, the food and the medicines, out on the tarmac there of Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. And we had to send somebody in to talk to a corporal in the Ethiopian army who only had the responsibility to stamp a piece of paper, to look out the window and say, yes, that plane has arrived from London. We arrived on Sunday night. All day Monday went by, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday. Finally, on Thursday in the afternoon, he looked out and said, meanwhile, you have a nation, 6 billion people that were starving to death. You know why he waited so long? Bribery. He wanted 10 American dollars. But as soon as you would give him that kind of money, everywhere we would go, those supplies would not actually get there. So it's sad that Satan has found ways of really stopping the church in so many ways. Concerning persecution, probably you have heard this, but this is from a quote from churches around the world. A report has found that every 5 minutes, one Christian is martyred for his or her faith somewhere in the world. Now I'm going to give you a statistic that you possibly have heard in the past, but I find it absolutely astounding that this is taking place during our watch, during our time. This is from Christian Freedom International, this quote. More Christians have been martyred for their faith in the 20th and 21st century than all of the previous 19 centuries of church history. Did you capture that? Here in the 20th century, and we're just beginning in the 21st, okay? More Christians have been martyred and lost their lives than in the 19th, 18th, 17th, 16th, 15th, 14th, 13th, 12th, 10th, and going all the way back until the time of Christ. If you added up all of these people through all of these centuries of time, there are more people that have lost their lives as Christians just recently. You take, for instance, the country of Sudan. Sudan now is two countries because the northern part is Muslim and the southern part is Christian. And so the only way to end that civil war was for the United Nations to create two countries. But before that was taking place, over 1 million Christians in that country lost their lives in Sudan alone. This is why the church has to pray. This is why the church needs to give. This is why the church needs to be educated concerning these realities, which are so sad. And it's my personal belief that it's Satan who's behind all of this wickedness and all of this sinful catastrophes that are taking place. Well, I could go on to mention things about bad news. You know, at this point, for instance, I haven't talked about the massive refugee problems. In a matter of months, I'll be going to the country of Finland to be with Karen people. Karen people are the Christians that were in Burma, now known as Myanmar. And some of them have been in refugee camps for 31 years before they are moved. The country of Finland has taken 1,000 of them in, and Converge has a very special ministry if you want to pray in particular, as I would go for up into Lapland, into Finland. I don't know why, you get invitations in February up in Lapland. You would think it'd be nice if they would say, why don't you come in July? But in July, it's still about 30 degrees below zero, so I guess it really doesn't matter. But for instance, let me just give a couple other statistics that I think might be surprising. And this will give you an idea of the wealth of America as compared to the wealth of other countries. There are at least 210 nations in the world. There's probably 240 or so. Okay. But this statistic is in reference to 210. Every year, Americans spend more on trash bags than the individual gross national product of 90 countries in the world. Here's one product, trash bags. I don't know about you, but we just need them in our house. If I'm going to go to the dump or the transfer station, or they keep changing the name of the place, all I know is they take our stuff, you know, and I'm glad they do. Well, anyways, just trash bags. We spend more as Americans just on that one item than all of the gross national product. Everything that that country creates and makes and imports and sells and so forth, just that one product, we have more money that we're spending in reference to trash bags. Let me give you another example. There's just so many products. The statistic I'm going to give you, I'll just say it quickly. And I always have to be careful on this one. It's in reference to cats and dogs. Now, we've had dogs most of our lives. And I really like dogs. And we had a dog named Jacob. I'm still convinced he was the smartest one in the family. He just really was a smart dog. But do you realize that in America, we spend more for dog and cat food, okay, than all of the missions giving in every church in America? Take the Presbyterians, take the mission, the Methodists, the Baptists, and there's 53 different kinds of Baptists in America. And we spend more for cat food and dog food. I really think as a nation, God is going to speak to us about that. But you know, let's finish the negative side. And let's talk about the wonderful things that God is doing in the midst of some of the sad things. And so there's good news. And the good news is that it's joy unspeakable. For instance, in the year 1900, the continent of Africa had one, and I'm talking about the country, the continent of Africa had 1 million Christians. Now it's believed that at least 1/4 of the continent has Christians. I go to the country of Haiti. I try to go there twice a year, at least once a year. Jim and Denise will be going by God's grace. We'll be going together. And Haiti happens to be one of the great successes of missions. At least 40% of Haitians in that country are Christians. It's just a great, great mission success. The mission agency, ELIC, English Language Institute of China, is an agency that teaches teachers primarily to go over to China and to teach English. They are missionaries, but they can't in that communist country just proclaim Christ or start to talk about Christ. But as the students will ask questions, they have every right then to talk about Christ. There are now 600 ELIC missionary teachers in China. And the reason that the Chinese government, who knows that they're Christians and knows that they're having taken the opportunity when it's appropriate to talk about Christ, and the government officials ask and say, well, isn't this a contradiction? Why do you do this? Why do you have young Christian people come? And they say it's because they're the best teachers in the world that we can get. Isn't that a great statement? To just know that we were producing that kind of young men and women that are going over to this communist country, and in a simple fashion of teaching English, are having this kind of a testimony. The countries now of North Korea, Middle East countries such as Saudi Arabia and others, are asking for ELIC students to come. And the reason is English is the finance language of the world. And they want that their people to know that. In Ethiopia, a country that Mary and I have a special attachment to, I think I've probably gone to Ethiopia maybe as Estonia is the number one country we've gone to, but maybe Ethiopia would be the second. In the southern part of Ethiopia, there's a group of people known as the Borana. The Borana are a migrating Muslim people. 3 million of them at least go from Kenya to the southern part of Ethiopia. The Ethiopian government, along with the Kenyan government, are trying to stabilize these people, to have them settle down, and so schools and hospitals are being built and Converge as a part of this. My friend Stan Smith was there a couple years ago, and he met a girl. She was 18 years of age, and he said, "Could I hear your testimony?" She came to know Christ through the Converge Mission missions program there in a youth hostel, learning English and so forth. And she came to know Christ as her Savior, went back to live with her parents. When her parents were migrating, she would stay at the school. When they settled down, then she would go back and live with her parents. And that's just the Borana way of life. And she was 10 years of age. She started singing about Christ and had all this literature. Her dad brought together the elders of this village, and they stripped her from the waist up. They brought her out into the little forest that this area is primarily a desert. And there they tied her to a tree, believing that the hyenas would come as soon as it was dark and that she was going to be, she'd die. And the reason that they did this is because she was one of the first to become a Christian among the Borana people. God preserved this young lady's life, and we don't even know how she was able to get away because these men tied her up. A number of days, she was at least 3 days out in the wilderness. But God protected her life. She was able to get free. She was able to make her way back at the hostel. And so Converge, for these 8 years, have been able to take care of her. When my friend Stan Smith heard her testimony, because he was saying, I'm going to be going back to Minneapolis, he said, "Do you have any last words?" And I quote, this is what she said, "When you come back, you are going to see how God is using me." She didn't say, "When you come back, I'm not going to be here because I'm taking off for the city." She didn't say, "I'm finding another way of getting out of this place and I'm going to seek revenge." She said, "Stan, when you come back, you're going to see how God has used me." Is that powerful? Yes, my friends, the gospel works. It's not only saved our souls and taken away our sins, but God is doing this around the world. Here in the United States, to encourage you, recently the Pew Research Center. And so these statistics that I'm giving to you are not only not from Converge, they're not made up. These are from major research centers. The Pew Research Center pointed out that there recently, now because of their research, 5 Americans share their faith online every week. And so there's a great disbursement of the gospel that's taking place on the internet. now in the country of Japan, the number one way that men are coming to a saving knowledge in Japan is because they're not going to come to church. Many of them work even on Sundays. But they'll go onto the internet. And rather than pornography and gambling and other games, good games and so forth that they're watching, many of them are turning in record numbers in that country, that hardened country, where we're talking about a percentage point of less than 1% are Christians. But there, because of the internet, they're coming to know Christ as their personal Savior. Every month, Converge is starting new churches. Converge in our own denomination in last 10 years, we've grown by 50.5%. We've had a 273% increase in baptisms since 1992. But let me just share, and because of the time, I think these statistics will really encourage you in many ways. The gospel is spreading in such creative ways. Do you know that now more than 80% of the world has access to the Old Testament and the New Testament in their language and in their dialect? So if you ever heard of Wycliffe, an agency such as is that, this is the amount. I was just there a couple weeks ago and was utterly amazed at the progress that Wycliffe is making. More than 90% of the world now has access to the New Testament in their language, in our dialect. More than 99% of the world now has access to Christian radio or media. Converge is a part of a satellite program where two satellites come. It's called SAT-7. You can go on the internet and just read about this, or I'll look at it. And then one satellite comes to Scotland, the other comes to Morocco. They then have a footprint that covers 34 Muslim nations. And for 24 hours every day of the year, the best television, and this has been shown in the country, especially of Saudi Arabia and Egypt, where they have said the best television isn't our national television, it's not our educational channels, it's SAT-7 that is presenting the gospel in a very, very clear way. And because of this, the Muslim world is just changing. If you ever look at the paper and say, I just wonder why, we never used to have such trouble with the Muslims 50 years ago. They used to stay in their place. They were Muslims and we were Christians and they were Jews. There were three kinds of people in the world. Why is there so much difficulties with the Muslims? Because God is so greatly stirring up the Muslim world. There were times when missionaries hardly ever went to the Muslim countries. And now it's one of the major areas that young people especially want to go to. We know that in the SAT-7 there's over 100 million Muslims on a daily basis watch evangelical television. There's just the statistics that I could give you about Iran are just absolutely outstanding. For instance, in Eastern Germany, Iranian refugees who are business people, physicians, scientists, engineers, lawyers, economists, teachers, and other professionals are turning to Christ in the thousands. This is from Christianity Today, last year in the January issue. There are so many Iranian students that were sent out by their government to go elsewhere to get a good education in Europe, that especially in the city of Nuremberg, Germany, that thousands of these Iranians, young students, are accepting Christ. It's just a revival that is taking place there in the sun. I use that word carefully, in the southern part of Germany. 1,600 new churches open every week around the world. 28,000 new believers in China every day. 20,000 new believers in Africa, over 100,000 people we know at least statistically are coming to Christ. I'm going to just end by just, if you want to write this down, you need to go to the internet and you'll be amazed at the statistics that I'm going to give you. But let me point this out. 100,000 people. How many people live in Korain? A thousand. Okay, should we say 1,000? That's fine, okay. So then, let's take 100 Koreans. You got 100,000 people that are brand new Christians. And you imagine that this is happening, you know, every day that God is expanding his kingdom. And then you go away, you go look on Monday, oh my goodness, there's another 100,000. You come back on Tuesday, oh, you know, another 100,000. It's just absolute, we've never seen statistics like this. And this is not time for the church to go, oh, I just wonder what God is doing. He is so active and so powerful because it's his mission. Here's the last statistic that I want to give you. I want you to look up a ministry from CRU, C-R-U, used to be known as Crusade for Christ. They've changed their name. And they have a website called Global Media Outreach, in which this year, okay, the year 2019, they reached 1 billion people with the gospel. 1 out of 8 people in the world from that one mission agency alone. What a day and age we're living in. And so if you're praying, if you're giving, if you're supporting, if you're going, we need to be encouraged because, again, we're in our end with this. Habakkuk 1:5. Look at the nations. Who would ever think that Iran would have so many that are coming to Christ? Do you know one of the last things that Saddam Hussein did before he went into the foxhole? And he was there, what, 8 or 9 months? You people know that, right? He put on national television for all of Iraq to see the Jesus Christ video. The Jesus film. Can you imagine that? That was one of the last things that he did. And then he heard the Americans were coming. He scurried like a squirrel and went down in the hole. Who would ever believe that a dictator would do that for Iraq? Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in the days that you will not believe, even if you were told. For the earth will be filled with the glory of, will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas. We're a part of this. And so let's praise and give all glory to God. Well, let's continue the advance.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.